Congregation, hear the word of God. First from the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Listen, he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And now our text for this evening, Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rule. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. The Word of God. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, every person, whenever or wherever they may live, wants to be happy, right? Not only to be happy, but also to seek to be happy. At least Thomas Jefferson said as much in his memorable words found in the opening lines of our nation's Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We leave aside for the moment Jefferson's theological bent, which must be characterized only as deistic. Deism says that there is a God who has created every person with the right and presumably the ability to live freely and happily. But beyond such, this God, accordingly, has left mankind alone to achieve, work out these rights by themselves. In other words, he is not the God of Holy Scripture, who not only created Adam and Eve and the entirety of their progeny, but who also communicated in clear and understandable terms exactly how they were to live and live free and pursue happiness. That's what we call theism, It means that God is God Almighty, that He alone holds the position as sovereign over all the affairs of all people. And He has declared what His will is for them, each and every one. And He has pronounced that His will in words. Words that could be taken in by cognitive creatures that He has made in His own image. Yes, words that need to be attended to by everybody, if ever they were to achieve the kind of goals that Thomas Jefferson held out as attainable. Those words could be called the way of the Lord. The way that forms the very heart and center of our psalm text this evening. You probably know that the 119th Psalm is an acrostic, although we cannot see that in our English version. But it is an acrostic, and in the original Hebrew, it comprises 22 stanzas of 8 verses each. Following the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, within each successive stanza of 8 verses, each verse of those stanzas begins with the same Hebrew letter. Thus, the very first word of every one of the verses of our text this evening, Psalm 119, 1 through 8, begins with the first Hebrew letter, which you might have learned is pronounced Aleph. Aleph, A. Now you may wonder if anyone might have translated this evening's text while maintaining its precise meaning, while using an English word starting with A to begin each of the 8 verses. Actually, somebody did. His name is Theodore Kubler, and he did it in 1880. And I will now recite his attempt to you, and you may listen with your eyes cast upon your ESV version. All they that are undefiled in the way, walking in the law of the Lord, are blessed. All they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart are blessed. Also, they do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. All thy precepts diligently to keep, thou hast commanded us. Ah, Lord, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Ashamed I shall never be when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Always will I praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. All thy statutes will I keep. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Isn't that neat? Now, as a matter of fact, Theodore must have found it a difficult task to continue similarly through the 22 stanzas of the psalm. Because although he chose each initial word of verses 9 through 16, beginning with the Hebrew Beit, not Beth, that's our B, he gave up the challenge on the remaining 20 stanzas, probably because he didn't know what to do with Tsade, T-S-A-D-H-E, or T. Look at verse 137. See where Tzadeh begins. We just don't have that letter. And there's maybe one or two others that we don't have too. Anyway, if you want to learn your Hebrew ABGs, not C's, in an English pronunciation, you can find them in the successive stanzas of Psalm 119. I'm sure that the whole scheme was of significant help to Jewish kids, don't you think? Wanting to memorize Psalm 119. They had a head start. But now, turning away from the matter of its form, we come to the more important matter of the content of this beloved psalm, and especially of verses 1 through 8. Let me try to put that content this way, in just a few words. Mankind's true and lasting happiness is found solely in the way of heartfelt and complete obedience to the Lord's revealed will. That's what it's all about. Did you get it? And so we know 3 points, and the first one is this. There is the way of the Lord. There's such a thing as the way of the Lord. You see, the basic thought of Psalm 119 is theistic, as we've already noted, not deistic. Now, those are doctrinal terms indeed, but don't be put off. But I can understand that you might be tempted to wonder whether it's important to know what those words mean, and especially what difference, if any, it makes to you and your life to know what they mean. It is important, and greatly important, so important that the Bible has one whole chapter of 175 verses called Psalm 119. A psalm that over and over again calls attention to the fact that you must be a deist, not a theist. Not a deist. Now, what does that mean? Well, as we've indicated, it means that God has not only created the universe, and especially human beings in His own image, but that He has spoken, yes, spoken, in words and sentences, declaring His word. He has told us who He is, who we are, and how He wants us to worship Him, to walk in His way and bring glory to Him. He tells us in Psalm 119, particularly, that He is the sovereign one. He calls the shots. He tells us what He wants us, His human beings, to believe and how He wants us to act. And He does so by using a whole variety of nouns in this psalm, like law, will, commandments, decrees, statutes, precepts, testimonies, rules, words, and a few more that I cannot even keep track of them all. But they are all His. That's the point. In fact, you can check this out for yourself if you'd like, but I believe that in all but 2, possibly 3, but maybe only 2 of the 175 verses of this psalm, you will find at least one of those words, those nouns, in the section, in the psalm. Repetition must be important. Get it? The deist says that God creates, but after that He doesn't rule. The theist says that He does indeed rule, because the theist has read Psalm 119. In the very first verse of this wonderful psalm that expresses the richness and universality of the fact of Yahweh's total right and rule over all people on earth, the noun that the psalmist has chosen is this one, way. In the Hebrew language, the word is derech. Derech is the path, the road on which you're going. And the point the psalmist is making is just this. The straight and sure direction you need to take if you're ever going to be blessed, yes, to be happy, will have to be the derech, the way that cannot be criticized as being less than perfect. And whatever could that blameless way be? Well, the second half of verse 1 answers that question. Look at it. It's the law of the Lord. It's walking that way. However could you miss it? If you want to be happy, you're going to have to think, believe, desire, and act according to the derech, the way of Yahweh. You're going to have to be a theist. You're going to have to submit to the only God who has made clear to you by the things that He has made, which all exist to declare His glory, and by His Word, the Holy Bible, all given by the inspiration of His Holy Spirit, the way He orders you to go. Yes, He didn't leave it up to you to figure out the best way to go yourself. That's what the world of fallen people want. The right and privilege to go their way. But that way, that derech, is anything but blameless. It leads to anything but blessing. It leads to unhappiness forever. Once while I was pastor in Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Silver Spring, Maryland, I had the joy to experience a particular and memorable application of this point. A couple in the congregation, so far childless, adopted a boy whom they named Derech. What gave me, together with them, such joy was the moment when the birthing hospital staff, according to a strict rule which was over the hospital, that nobody was allowed to walk out of that hospital with a baby unless it were proven and known indisputably that it was their baby. So they didn't just allow people in general to be walking in and out with babies. But they knew who I was identified and I had credentials, and they put Derech in my arms, and I alone with Derech went out the front door of that hospital, and there were his new parents on the sidewalk. And I said to them, I just found this baby in there. Would you like to have him? Or something like that. That was a precious moment in my ministerial experience. And I still know those folks today. In fact, they came to our 50th wedding anniversary all the way from Texas. Derech is now a medical personnel himself. He's all grown up now, married, and has children of his own. We were very happy. That was God's Derech, wasn't it? Not the boy, but the way of the Lord who makes babies. And in His way, He puts them where He wants them to be. In this case, in His beloved church. The way of the Lord. So if you're looking for a name for a boy, He could do worse than Derek. The way of the Lord. But secondly, we need to pay attention to walking the way of the Lord. The first verse, which provides the key to the whole section, verses 1 through 8, which is called Aleph, as we noted, provides two crucial points, neither of which may be ignored. It says, and we've seen that now in the first place, that the Lord God has a way, a derech, which He has ordained for the creatures He created in His own image, human persons, all human persons. That way cannot be escaped. It is fixed, whether people like it or not. And that is so because God's name is Yahweh. I am that I am. He is who He is, and as such, He is perfectly and completely sovereign. Thus, the derech that He has decreed for mankind cannot be escaped. It's His way. That's the first point. But the second point is this. That way of the Lord needs to be walked by people. All people. And if any of one them all ever hopes to be happy, he or she will have to walk in the way of the Lord. To use other words, that derech has to be trodden, traversed, followed. You can't just know about it. And you can't even recognize that the Lord God has laid it out. You have to actually walk in it. Now, that is not only true, it is observable. Anyone who studies the history, the psychology, the social behavior of the human race will have to admit that people in general will have to admit that there exists some kind of common good that hangs over society. But the problem is that they don't often hold themselves personally responsible to seek it. Even if they could all agree as to what are the specifics of that way by which folks should and could together live happily on this planet Earth. So the reason why many, if not most, humans are so unhappy is twofold. They haven't faced up to the way of the Lord. Even if they do recognize by the common grace of God that such a thing exists, they don't think that they have to walk in it. And regularly, they don't. They sin. And what is sin? Well, the Shorter Catechism answers the question in those memorable words. Sin is any want, lack, of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Now, the Catechism could have said, following Psalm 119, the same thing in these words. Sin is any failure to walk in the way of the Lord. And it would mean the same thing. Now, let's see how the rest of this psalm unpacks this truth, that unhappiness is caused by failure to walk in the way of the Lord. Using a rich variety of synonyms, the psalmist says that it is a matter of walking in the law of the Lord, verse 1. Keeping His testimonies, verse 2. Walking in His ways, verse 3. Keeping His precepts diligently, verse 4. Keeping your statutes, verse 5. having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. Verse 6. Learning your righteous rules. Verse 7. And then one more time, in case we missed it, keeping your statutes. Verse 8. So where will one find these testimonies, ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, and rules? In the law of God. That's where. The law which God has spoken clearly in words, my friends. That is, He has not given us a mushy, unidentified intuition for each person to contemplate inwardly, by which they can suppose God wants them to act. No, that's not how His way, His derech, is revealed. It's made known in the revelation of His law. That law was first made known to our first parents, Adam and Eve, by means of words. Did you catch it in Genesis 1:28? And God blessed them, and God said to them. And there follows words of God's derech for them, the way He prescribed for them to walk, what they were to do, and what they were not to do. And He wrote those words upon Adam and Eve's hearts. But they rebelled, sinned, and failed to walk in the way of the Lord. Then it was that God spoke in words His way of redemption, the covenant of grace, what He was going to do by virtue of the seed of the woman, by which He would spare a portion of humanity, called His church, that would indeed walk in His way, by means of a Redeemer. That church would actually hear those words, the way of God repeated, but this time inscribed in stone, the Torah, the law of God, delivered to His people by the hand of Moses, and summarized in what we now call the Ten Commandments. You know them. And Psalm 119 sings that happiness comes by walking in this law of God. So that's the second point, walking in the way of the Lord. But the problem is, we don't walk, do we, in this law of God? We don't. That brings us to the third point, failure to walk in the way of the Lord. We don't keep His testimonies, precepts, and statutes diligently, nor have our eyes been fixed on all His commandments, and we certainly have not learned His righteous rules. At least you haven't put them into practice. That's each and every one of us by nature, my dear friends. And because of that, we are in deep, deep trouble. Somebody is going to have to deliver us from this estate of sin and misery, as the Shorter Catechism, question and answer 20, puts it. Or we're going to be left there accordingly to perish forevermore. We are sinners. And that is demonstrated by our failure to walk in the way of the Lord. We sin because by nature we continue to go our way. And reformation from within can never be hoped for. It won't happen. Some run from it without is going to have to come, because we need such a one to be found who is able and willing to stand in our place and make up for our failure, as well as wipe away our guilt. In other words, we must ask, is there to be found anywhere a truly blessed man whose way is blameless? Well, before you answer that question, you need to explore the depths of depravity of human unrighteousness that this psalm lays out. Otherwise, you might not appreciate the wonder and the magnitude of the grace of God that shines in the gospel. The message that there is indeed a truly blessed man, capital M, who is ready, able, and willing to deliver you from your sure and coming eternal death. Now, one thing to note is this. Your failure to walk in the way of the Lord is not merely one of doing wrong things by committing sins of violation of God's law. It goes deeper than that. According to verse 2, you don't seek Him with your whole heart. It's true, in fact, your sins of commission spring from your heart's omission. You've already fallen inside. And that's why you act wrongly outside. Do you notice how that is so apparent in the Ten Commandments? Beneath every one of the transgressions pointed out by those ten commands lies the thought of the heart that produces the bad observable behavior. For examples, people commit adultery because they lust. People steal because they covet. People murder because they hate. Not walking in the way of God starts inside. Be sure of that. Another thing to note from this Aleph section of Psalm 119 is one of motivation. Listen to verse 7. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. The reason why the psalmist wants an upright heart is to praise God, not stay out of hell. Learning God's rules and keeping them in his heart is not prompted by self-interest. It's prompted by a desire to make God look good. He's not after his own well-being and blessedness, the psalmist. He's after the Lord's honor. That's motivation. There will be no shame placed upon the one whose eyes are fixed on God's commandments, because God's rules are righteous, and they are righteous because He is righteous. Those things being the case, the question we posed earlier simply will not down. Where is such a person ever to be found? Is there actually even one blessed man anywhere? You know that there is. There is only one, and his name is Jesus. And you see, the gospel message provides for more than a Savior who died to save us from our sins. It proclaims a Savior who lived to save us from our failure to walk in God's way. The theological terms that capture this truth are these. It is not only the passive, that's the cross, but also the active, Jesus' walk, obedience
of Jesus Christ that we need. J. Gresham Machen, you know who he is? Yeah, one of the founders of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, who in 1937, when I was 2, and he was on his deathbed in North Dakota, and someone wrote down his dying words, the last words that we have recorded that we know he spoke. You know what they were? "Thank God," said J. Gresham Machen, "for the active obedience of Jesus Christ." Machen was thanking God that there is a blessed man. And Jesus is that one. The only one who perfectly fulfills the terms of our text tonight. But the amazing and God-glorifying thing is this. God has given this whole, W-H-O-L-E, Savior to every one of His believing people. You tonight, who trust solely in Jesus Christ, have God's faithful promise that you too, united to your Redeemer by faith, become one of those so blessed in Psalm 119, 1 through 8. On that way, and that way alone, will you ever be happy. You won't find it elsewhere, for know this, God doesn't mark on a curve. He requires a 100% perfect grade on the test of Psalm 119, 1 through 8. And Jesus is the only graduate of that school. But He brings with Him those He represents. You, who by faith trust in Him. And then comes the amazing sequel. United to this one blessed man, you want to and increasingly will walk in God's way, not only in the world to come, but also in this one as well. No, need I tell you, not perfectly, but truly. Truly, for united to Jesus, you will never be forsaken by the God of all grace. Let's pray. Machen was right, dear Lord, and we thank you and bless your name for the act of obedience of Jesus Christ, without which none of us will ever see you in glory. Hallelujah. Jesus is the blessed man. And in Him, we who trust Him are blessed too. In His name we pray. Amen.